toilet paper prices have skyrocketed. In Fallout 76, this article comes out of IGN, was written by Wesley LeBlanc. Reddit user Historic Pig Dog, great name, posted on the Fallout 76 subreddit to ask the simple question of why. The user who purchased four rolls of his toilet paper for 450 caps each. That's still an unreasonably high price for toilet paper in a game where you don't need to use toilet paper in a bathroom. But someone in the comments of Historic Pig's post said that they sold a roll for 20,000 caps. I've sold my only one for 20,000 caps, says this Reddit user. I put it up as a joke. Joke is on me. I should have listed it for 30K.
Yep.
Far out. What do you think of this, Torja? People are going nuts for toilet paper in Fallout 76, apparently.
Everyone's following the trend. They want to be like the world out here.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's just a perfect example of people wanting to live out their real-life fantasies in video games.
Maybe it was just a kid that their parents were arguing about toilet paper, not having enough toilet paper to get it through the week. And the kid saw toilet paper being sold in a game, and he was very happy to help his family.
Yeah. 100%. Mum, Dad, look, I've got toilet paper in Fallout. Oh, no, it's fantastic. Yeah, I guess now people are living out their fantasies a bit differently when they're playing in online worlds, and yep. now the fantasy involves actually being able to wipe your ass with toilet paper.
Yeah, in Portugal, we have bidets. You don't have that here.
I've got a garden hose. It's the same thing, right? No? Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. And oh, what a week it has been, my God. My name is Zach, and I'm here this week with someone a little different to who I'm usually sitting across from. This week I'm sitting here with Torja. Torja, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, and you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Well, I'd say that, but my throat is feeling pretty sore today. I'm not showing any other symptoms or anything like that, but I dare say that is why Lockie decided not to come in to record today. I'll let him know in the morning that I was feeling this way, and he made probably the very wise decision to decide not to come on the show today. But so, yeah, instead we have the awesome Torja, who doesn't care if she live or dies.
Yeah, apparently I'm fucked. Like, even if I go away now, and it won't matter. Yeah, stay safe, Lockie. We miss you.
Yes. Good on you practicing your social distancing. I'm very proud.
Don't go like licking doorknobs or something like that. Just stay at home. Wash your hands.
And with that being said, let's get cracking with some gaming news. Are you fond of numbers, Torja?
Yes.
You really? Like numbers. Okay, well, you are going to cream your pants over this story because I have a whole bunch of numbers for you.
Oh, yes.
I have the specs that have been released for the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. So bear with me for a minute or two here. I'm going to be spouting a lot of numbers out, but
not the kind of numbers I usually like, but
there you go. We'll see if hopefully some people out in the audience will get something out of all these, because me, I certainly do not know. So as far as the Xbox Series X is concerned, it has 3.8 gigahertz CPU with custom Zen 2. And the PS5 has 3.5 gigahertz custom Zen 2, so slightly less on that one, 3.5 as opposed to 3.8. Mm-hmm. As far as the GPU goes, it is 12 teraflops on the Xbox Series X with 1.825 gigahertz and RDNA 2, as opposed to PlayStation 5's 10.28 teraflops with 2.23 gigahertz. And the last one I'll cover here is the storage. On the Xbox Series X, they have a 1 terabyte custom NVMe SSD, as opposed to PlayStation 5's 825 gigabyte SSD. And now the first thing here that jumps out at me is PlayStation's numbers. Oh, they're slightly smaller.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not going to pretend I know what these numbers mean because I have no fucking clue what these numbers mean. But I do know that right now my PlayStation 4 Pro has a 1 terabyte hard drive, and I feel a bit funny about the idea of spending a lot of money on a brand new console that that for some reason has a fairly smaller hard drive. Apparently, Sony have said that the way they store games, they'll be able to fit more games onto this kind of hard drive. It's meant to be a fantastic kind of hard drive, but look, I guess something like that will remain to be seen. I don't know. Do these numbers mean anything to you, Torja?
I'm not very good at this kind of numbers. But yeah, the storage part seems like their excuse seems sketchy. Like from what I know, I think SSD, like a disk being SSD or HDD, is about the speed in which you access data, and not the actual storage. Like, I don't know much about this, but it seems weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it just worries me slightly because I remember back to the Xbox One and PS4 release times when the Xbox One released at a higher price point with slightly lower specs, and that definitely was one of the many things that helped to mess up Xbox One's launch, which was famously a very botched launch.
People will complain, yeah.
Exactly right. So and we've already had some rumors about the PS5 possibly costing $500 US, which we could see as high as $700 to $800 in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
If it's got lower specs, then I dare say it's going to be a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's one of those things. I guess it has a lot to do with the infrastructure of the console as well too, and how they implement it all. I feel like it remains to be seen, but right now there's just a couple of things there that just have me a little bit worried about how Sony's going into this next generation. Yeah. There's been rumors for a long time for backwards compatibility with PS4, and I was hoping that was going to be a blanket thing. You would just be able to play your PS4 games on the PS5, but they've come out and said that it will have backwards compatibility, but only with the 100 most played games. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a few decisions here and there that just has me questioning what they're doing going into this next generation. But I guess it remains to be seen. Xbox Series X, I think they're at a good position. I think other than their terrible, terrible naming conventions, the Xbox Series X, I don't know how I'm going to be able to sell that when I'm at work. It's going to be so confusing for parents and whatnot. But, hey.
You have to write down the different names parents will call it.
I'll just tell them it's 12 teraflops. Do you want it or not?
And they'll for sure get it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Oh, look, numbers bore me. So I'm going to move on to something a little bit more interesting and also a lot more depressing.
Oh, no.
Now, GameStop. It's been under fire for keeping stores open in the US. This article was written by Shannon Lau and comes out of CNN Business. GameStop locations are still open in several states that have ordered non-essential retail to close, including New York and New Jersey. Starting Friday, the video game retailer began to close stores in California and Pennsylvania. California has been under a statewide shelter-in-place order since Thursday evening. The company argues it is essential because it offers mics and keyboards that could help people work from home. GameStop told CNN Business in a statement that we are one of the many providers of these products that are remaining open at this time, but it didn't comment on why it must remain open if other stores are also providing those items. Animal Crossing New Horizons launched in stores Friday, and Doom Eternal was available a day earlier. Ahead of those two major video game releases, GameStop sent out an internal memo Thursday to store leaders and other employees saying that it believed its stores should be classified as an essential business and remain open during the global pandemic. It told employees in a letter viewed by CNN Business that they should direct law enforcement to call a corporate number if they tried to enforce store closures. So, yeah, it seems like GameStop took a bit of a hard stance over there in the US. The thought of keeping a GameStop open because it is essential business, does not seem right to me. How do you feel about this?
Working, you really need like a really expensive keyboard and mouse. Like you can't just buy something at Kohl's. I don't know if Kohl's sends.
but it's just a very tenuous reason to keep those stores open, I believe. I think the optics of it don't help as well too, with both of these big video game releases that have come out recently.
Yeah.
It doesn't look too fantastic, because apparently games are selling really well right now because people are looking for something to do while they're in quarantine.
And they can still like sell home delivery, like they can close their physical stores, but still like people can order stuff through mail or something like that.
Totally. This quote comes out of Dustin Carson, who works as a game advisor in GameStop Athens in Georgia. "That's absolutely ridiculous. If someone's trying to work from home, they don't want the $85 Razer keyboard we have or the $60 Razer mouse. Some cheap $20 Microsoft something is going to get them by just fine. They can get that at Walmart. They can get that at any of these other stores that also have groceries and are arguably much more essential to being open right now. The Athens store opened on Friday morning, even though the country is under a shelter-in-place order. Police went to the store Friday afternoon to order that it shut down. They showed GameStop employees an 11-page ordinance that included a list of essential businesses which CNN Business viewed. GameStop was not listed as one of them. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, the store closed on Friday at around 4 p.m. and it is unclear if it will reopen Saturday." So I dare say it did not reopen after such intense measures such as that, but... like, surely they would consider the optics of this, of making the police take time out of their days where they got to be super busy right now, helping dealing with all of this stuff. All emergency services are at these kind of times.
Yeah.
And go there to shut a store down.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And it's not good for their employees and, like, it's not fair. Like, people should be taking measures, all measures. It's not an essential product. I'm sorry.
No, 100%. As much as I love games, I'm not going to pretend that they're essential. If games stopped being made tomorrow, the world would go on. I don't know if I'd go on. I wouldn't want to live in a world without games. But as far as, the rest of the world, they'll kick on just fine. So, yeah, no. Look, them closing these stores in California... over Friday, you know, send some good messages, but I think it was just a big mistake for them to keep those stores open, that especially those ones in New York and New Jersey, which are massive epicenters of people. GameStop is not too well liked in the United States, that's for sure. And they're already having their sales and whatnot hurting. So hopefully we just got to wait for April 20th when Reggie Fils-Aimé finally comes around and changes everything.
Oh, that's right. I have a...
oh, yeah, Torja has a correction. That's right. Thank you.
I have a public apology to make. It's a trend now and I want to join the trend. So last episode, I was correcting Zach and saying... Reggie Fils-Aimé, his name, and I corrected wrongly. I'm very sorry to who I may have offended with this. but it's not Fils-Aimé, it's Fils-Aimé. And this is it.
Look, I'll let Reggie know. I'm sure he'll be cool about it. Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty chill dude. As I said, he's joining GameStop on April 20th, 4:20, and there's a reason why. He's a very chill dude. Now, off from some depressing shit, because I'm going to talk about something that I love, and something that I love is Control. Control was a game that came out, I think it was August last year. It was one of my favorite games of last year. I absolutely adored it. The gameplay was great. The story was weird and interesting. Top game, Control. Really, really, really good. Have you played Control at all, Torja?
No. What I've heard about it, it was on this podcast. So, but you sold it pretty well. Like, yeah, it got me excited about the game.
Yeah, definitely. It is on PC, so I definitely recommend you picking it up. It's got an awesome female protagonist, who doesn't love that?
Yes.
She kicks ass too, to be honest. Bloody, the powers and stuff. Oh god, it's such a good game. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Control has a awesome new, well, I don't know if it's awesome yet because it hasn't come out yet, but it's awesome looking. I checked out the trailer. Control has a new DLC expansion coming March 26th called Foundation. It was a quick 1 minute trailer they have there, just showing a little bit of gameplay and whatnot, but it looks like they've added in some new powers and stuff. And look, if it was just more story, I don't know, I'd probably wait and see on this one, but knowing that I'm going to get some new powers and stuff to play around with, I may very well pick this one up when it comes out on March 26th. But
you're excited, Dirk?
I've still got Doom to finish, and this is coming out very soon, so I don't know if I'll pick it up straight away. I'll have a look at what the price is as well, too, so we'll see. But yeah, look, more Control, to me, can only be a good thing, as long as, like, I feel like Remedy would do a good job of their DLC. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, anyone who enjoyed Control, be aware, March 26th, new DLC is coming out. And our final news story for today, because today was a short week, which is a very good thing, because I'm very excited to talk about a pretty massive release that came out this week. But talking about something that released last year, the GDC Awards were concluded. They did a streaming show for this one. They didn't have an actual event. And out of Game of the Year, there was Outer Wilds, Sekiro Shadow Die Twice, Control, and Death Stranding, and Untitled Goose Game. Which of these do you think won for GDC's Game of the Year?
I don't know. Death Stranding?
Death Stranding, that's where you put your bet. Well, I'm sorry, but you're absolutely wrong, Torja. You're wrong. Death Stranding's just a FedEx simulator game, and nobody likes it. No, I've heard good things about Death Stranding. But the game that won, and it was a surprise to me, was Untitled Goose Game. By developers House, the Australian indie developers. They won Game of the Year at GDC, which, like, fuck yeah. Good on yous. Go get them, you indie developers, you indie darlings, you. Fucking kick some ass overseas. No, I don't understand why it got it, to be honest. It is a great game. I really enjoyed
it. It's a really fun game, but I wouldn't in a million years say it would have won, like, big Game of the Year, like.
But it's a fun game.
Yeah, I got to say, out of, like, even Control, I enjoyed more than that. But even Control, I don't know, would really get the top spot. I'd say that a lot of people would be pretty upset that Sekiro Shadows Die Twice didn't nail that top spot there, because that was very beloved by the Dark Souls community and just hardcore gamers in general. Because let's face it, anyone who isn't a hardcore gamer isn't playing that shit, my God. Oh, God. I tried Neo 2.
Yeah.
I made it like 10 minutes in, got to it wasn't even a boss, it was just some other enemy. I was like, I tried him like 3 or 4 times, like, nah.
Yeah.
I know these games aren't for me. Why I keep trying, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked really pretty.
Yeah.
And the combat felt a lot better than what it did in Neo 1, which I also only tried a very brief amount of. But yeah, I guess that's why I didn't cover that one last week. Alrighty, so that'll do us for our news stories this week. And for our next part, I'm just going to get into what came out this week. We had RBI Baseball 20, which I am not familiar with that game at all. And also MLB The Show 20 as well, too. Why they'd go up against each other, I'm not too sure. But hey, what do you know? Anyway, the other ones, though, Animal Crossing New Horizons, a massive release. Me, personally, I haven't played it, but the reviews are very good. If you're looking for some kind of chill Nintendo Switch game to play, it's not going to stress you out or anything like that, then that's the game for you. We also had Doom 64 coming to all platforms. And finally, we had Doom Eternal.
How do you feel about that, Zach?
Oh, I feel so good about that. Doom Eternal has been, like, my top three anticipated games of this year is Doom Eternal, The Last of Us, and Cyberpunk 2077. So, yeah, it's one of those games this year that I've really been waiting for, and my God, I cannot wait to talk about it. Exactly. So let's just take a quick break, and then we'll get back into what we have been playing. Torja, have you been playing anything this week at all?
I haven't.
Okay, so nothing for you to speak about? Well, that suits me very well.
Yes. It's because good for you to have lots to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing id Software's new Doom Eternal game, which came out on Friday. I'm playing it on PlayStation. It is available, I believe, across all platforms, coming later to the Nintendo Switch. And my God, what a game Doom Eternal is. Now, I've managed to put in about 6 or 7 hours so far. I've had a super busy weekend, so that was the most I could possibly fit in. But so far, my God, if you're a fan of Doom 2016, if you enjoyed it, like, do yourself a favor and go out and buy Doom Eternal right now. Maybe don't go outside. Maybe buy it online or something, you know, get it delivered or, you know, do a digital download or something like that. But yes, fucking get your hands on some Doom Eternal because, my God, first thing that's great about it is it's more Doom. Yeah. It's got that wonderful, super tight controls and gameplay with the ridiculous running speeds and whatnot.
So fast-paced.
Oh, super fast-paced. Oh, yeah, Torja got to see me play a little bit yesterday, so she got a little bit of an experience of what Doom is all about. And, I forgot how full-on Doom is. I remember when I played Doom 2016, I sort of had to take breaks a bit. I could only play for like an hour at a time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I found myself sort of feeling like I need to take a break after I played a while of this because, yeah, damn, it gets the heart pumping. You were just, as Doom should be, you were constantly moving and performing glory kills or using one of the awesome weapons which they provide. So look, first off, I'll just chat a little bit about the story because there's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Doom 2016, but you are on Mars and eventually you leave Mars. But on your return to Earth, you find that that 60% of it has been taken over by some kind of demonic possession.
Okay.
And somehow he knows to go after the three priests, the ones who did this. So, yeah, who knows how the Doom guy knows that he's supposed to go after these priests, but somehow he does, and hilarity ensues. No, it's pretty much, the story is not the most important thing about Doom, and they kind of make it sort of clear themselves as well too. I dare say I found myself slightly more interested in the story in this one comparatively to Doom 2016. I could not really even tell you what happened in Doom 2016 now. But the important thing, which I'll get onto now, is the gameplay. And oh my God, yes, as I was saying before, they've still got that beautiful frenetic gameplay and they've added more to it. Like I almost found Doom 2016, there was a lot to handle there at some points, but now there is
so much going on all the time. Yeah.
So one of the very first things that I found myself picking up was a dash mechanic. You're pretty early on giving into the game a mechanic where you can dash twice before it has to take a couple of seconds to refresh. And you know, Doom's already a fast game, but you add dashing into that, and
dashing all the time.
My God, yeah. Well, I think you were watching me for a little while. Was it hard to keep up with what was happening?
At first, I was just, there was too much going on. Like, in lots of symbols, you have lots of stuff going on the screen that are just symbols, and I was wondering what it was. And then you explained it to me. But yeah, like you're moving through the rooms like such high velocity. Oh, by the way, our listeners don't know this, but Zach is wearing his Doom t-shirt.
Oh shit, yeah, I have too, didn't I? Yeah, I forgot. I wore it to work.
This is how excited he was with this game. He was counting down till the hour it releases, and he has having lots of fun.
Dear God, it was like waiting for Christmas. But touching on what Torja was saying there, how there's a lot going on on the screen. Yeah, 100%. There's a lot going on the screen. There's a new mechanic where you have you shoot a grenade. I know there was grenades in the last one, but this is a replenishing grenade that just reloads over time. And you have a ice grenade as well too to give yourself a little bit of a breather from these relentless enemies. And you also have a new flamethrower mechanic, which you can use to set enemies on fire, which those enemies in turn give you armor. So they've added a lot into the game to change your gameplay style and have you using a lot of these different effects to sort of to take on these enemies. And oh God, and that's the next thing to talk about is these enemies. They're awesome. They've included a lot of the cooler enemies from Doom 2016, but there is, I won't spoil anything here, but there are some very cool new enemies. And as Doom should be, the first time you're thrown against one, they'll kick your ass for a bit until you figure out how to defeat them. And then, yeah, you find yourself fighting multiple at once and taking them all on. But that does bring me to a little issue. I think because there's so much going on in the new Doom, they've decided to throw a lot of tutorial screens at you. So I found myself, especially within the first hour, just constantly reading. And now I love Doom, so I wanted to make sure I know how everything worked. But for, you know, I find myself in games I'm not as excited about just skipping through all that stuff.
And you just wanted to jump into the action. And
exactly right. I think what I liked about Doom 2016 is it lets you figure out the weak points and whatnot with the enemies on your own, just through your own gameplay.
Yeah.
And you end up figuring out your own ways to take these enemies down. Whereas in the Doom Eternal, they tell you, this is how you do it. And look, you can do it in other ways, but definitely the way they suggest to you is the easiest way to take down these enemies. But that's a little nitpick, because taking down these enemies is just so much fun. I find now that they've included all these different things in the gameplay that, you know, I'm just constantly dashing and then using my flamethrower, then shooting grenades, swapping between weapon mods. So as far as the weapons go, they're very similar to Doom 2016. Each weapon has two mods, except for the super shotgun, which just has the grappling hook, which, I haven't gotten too into the grappling hook yet, because, you know, I'm already bloody dashing around and it's already hard enough to keep up with. You throw that grapple in there as well too, things are bloody intense. But my God, the gameplay, it was exactly what I was looking for. They introduce everything piece by piece, so you're always getting a new enemy to fight and figure out how to fight, and then you'll pick up a new weapon, and then you'll pick up a new mod, so you're constantly getting new things to play with, which for a shooter like this is just, it's oh so much fun. And another thing that's oh so much fun about it, and that's my next big point, and one of the greatest things about this game, is the fucking music.
Yes.
Oh, look, I am not a fan of heavy metal at all. I never ever listen to heavy metal in my personal life, but when I'm ripping demons' heads off,
it fits.
It feels so good. The way they'll bring the music down in the quieter moments, and then when you run into a massive fight and you're getting overwhelmed, the music crescendos to this awesome, exciting, really cool heavy metal tracks. Oh God, I fucking love the music so much. What you got to hear a bit of the music. What did you think of it?
It fits. The music fits definitely, and it's such a gory game that it feels good for you to like just play through, dash through all of those enemies and like blood everywhere, and you're just listening to a very intense music.
Oh, it's 100%, fun. It's big time. It's all, I was playing it with headphones on for most of my time, and my God, hearing those sounds coming through your headphones, it really works really well with it. It just makes me think, like, I couldn't really picture Doom with any other kind of music. You know what I mean?
Music.
Like, classical or playing Doom to house or something. I just don't think any of that shit would work. It needs to be played to heavy metal, that's for sure. But if you're a fan of heavy metal, check out the soundtrack for Doom, because I feel like I want to listen to some of these songs outside of Doom, just because I've been enjoying them so much while I've been playing the game, which I'd never ever listen to video game soundtracks, but this could definitely be one that is worth checking out. So the sound, fantastic. All the weapons sound amazing as well too. There's no voice acting from the Doom guy, as there shouldn't be, and but there is voice acting from other characters and whatnot that you meet along the way, and all that seemed to be good as well too. What else can I mention about this? The level design is awesome. Like there's a massive focus on exploration in Doom Eternal, which there was a bit of that in Doom 2016, but it's definitely was nowhere near as intense as what this is. Mm-hmm. There's stuff to find everywhere. There's points for your suit lying about. There's like these little toys Lexables, and stuff that you can pick up. Yeah, you saw a couple of those as well, didn't you? I love me some exploration in games. God of War had great exploration, and I think that's what's kept me playing Journey to the Savage Planet as well. Exploration in games is, if done well, is always great. And they've done a decent job here for the kind of game they're making. You know, it's not an open world game, but I found myself wanting to explore a whole lot. And that's and that brings me to my next point about Doom is actually I have no idea what I was going to say.
Has a little bit of platforming too. I don't know if.
Yes, and that brings me to my next point because something that has changed. Thanks for that, by the way. Something that has changed in the game with the level layout is they have included some platform sections, as Torja just said. So you find yourself jumping to different platforms, obviously.
That's what platforming is.
Bit stating the obvious, but grabbing onto walls and things like that, and dashing as well too. And I was a bit concerned when I saw in gameplay trailers that it was going to be a little bit of platforming stuff. I'm not the biggest fan of first person platforming, but I got to say, the way they've implemented it has been good. I haven't found myself getting stuck at any of these platforming sections.
And it's short sections.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it's not like
the
whole level.
There has been some like larger sections that I have played through, but for the most part, it is like what you saw, just little moments where you may have to drop down somewhere and then use your dash quickly to get through to the next checkpoint. Mm-hmm. The way they've implemented it was actually pretty good. I find myself having fun with that little bit of platforming there. It's not too overbearing and doesn't take away from the rest of the game. It sort of teaches you how to use your dash and whatnot a little bit better. So when you're dashing around fighting all those demons, you got to know a bit more about what you're doing, I guess. So yeah, but I think, I don't know, do you have any questions at all about Doom? Is there anything you want to know, Torja?
I don't know, like, it's not, I know nothing about Doom. I knew nothing about Doom, except that it's a game, before I saw you play this one. But yeah, it's not my type of game, but it's definitely a really fun game for people who like the genre. And it's like, as we've said before, like, the music helps you get immersed into the game. It's lots of fun. It was fun to watch you like go through, try to figure out how to kill those enemies, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, for now, I haven't finished it yet, so I'm not going to put a score on Doom Eternal. But look, if you enjoyed Doom 2016, then yes, you have to play Doom Eternal. If you're sick of your Call of Duties and your Battlefields, they're just too slow. The pop and shoot, all that crap. Doom is the first-person shooter for you because it will have you running around like a maniac trying to figure out all this stuff. It's a fantastic game. The shooting's fantastic. The music's fantastic. The story doesn't matter, but that's okay as well, too. I'm still enjoying the story anyway.
How far into the game do you think you...
Yeah, well, about I feel like I've played about 6 to 7 hours. I won't say anything else out of fear of spoiling things for anybody, but I'm not too sure. I'm not 100%. But yeah, I'd say around 6 to 7 hours in, something like that. And I've heard it takes between 18 and 20 or something. So we'll see. I dare say by next week I'm going to have this game finished because I'm going to play the fuck out of some Doom Eternal. And yeah, for anyone who, any of that sounds good to you, yeah, definitely pick up Doom Eternal. It's a top-notch game. It is a top-notch bloody game. But that will do us for our game impressions for another week. If you want to tell us what you thought about Doom Eternal or anything that we've talked about over this episode, you can send us your thoughts to newstoreviewspodcast@gmail.com, or you can always hit us up on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Twitter is the best place to keep track of everything we are doing. Our Twitter handle is @newstoreviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. Thanks everyone for listening, and thank you again for joining us, Torja, and helping us out in this time when Lockie made the wise decision not to come in to record.
You're thanking me for not being the smart one.
Yes, totally, totally. I wish someone would thank me for not being the smart one. I haven't been the smart one my whole life, and no one's ever thanked me at all. So yeah, you're very welcome.
That's okay. No, thanks for having me. I'm more than happy to not making you feel like you're speaking, having a monologue, this way you can like just look at me and say whatever you're going to say.
Oh god, totally. If I had to record one of these on my own, my god, that would be one of the most awkward things I've ever done in my life. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening, and everyone out there, it's scary times. Please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Hang on one sec, my dog. On the bed. On the bed.
Come on, Ashi.
On the bed. Alright, chill out, buddy.
Lay down.
Chill.
Lay down.
Chill.
Lay down, Bubba.
Chill. Chill. Just ignore him. Alright. So somehow they know that that he knows that these priests are what he has to go after. He's just too cute.
I know I need a shower, Archie, but you don't have to smell my armpit.
He walked away. I'm just... Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.